Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let's pray before we go talking about prayer. God, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us the gift of your Spirit that we may ask the right questions, that we may come with open hearts and open minds to encounter your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. "Lord, teach us to pray," the disciples say. Mother Teresa was once asked what she said when she prayed, and she replied, "Mostly I just listen." And the interviewer followed up and asked her, "Well, what does God say?" "Mostly he just listens," she said. Which is beautiful and sounds true, but I have no idea what that means, actually. And much less than that, I have no idea how to do it. To be so vitally important and so regular a part of our lives, or supposed to be so regular a part of our lives, I wonder how many of us have a real understanding of what prayer is or how to do it. I had a church member in Alexandria who was so committed and passionate about her prayer life, she would tell us about how she spent an hour in prayer every morning, and her kids knew to leave her alone when she was praying, and her husband knew to leave her alone when she was praying, which is sort of amazing by itself. And the clear way that her prayer life had become so important to her, how it was so deep and how it was so real, was on the one hand very inspiring to know that you have someone in your church who's praying this way, but also on the other hand intimidating, because I'm the minister and I'm supposed to be the expert on these things. And she had a whole lot of answers about prayer that I could never find for myself. I can't get my kids to leave me alone long enough to go to the bathroom. Much less to spend an hour in prayer every day. It takes a lot for church people to say in front of each other that our prayer lives are not what we would like them to be. Or to say it better, that we don't have much confidence that our prayer lives are what they're supposed to be. No matter how good we feel about it, there's always some uncertainty or some sense that we should be doing it more or better or somehow different. Talking about prayer is like the teacher in front of the classroom explaining this bizarre and complex calculus equation that you've never seen, and everyone around you is behaving as if they understand it completely. So you want to raise your hand and say, "You know, I don't really understand this, and I really would like for you to explain it," but you just keep your hand down because you don't want to be the one who's missing what apparently everybody else has already figured out. But the secret is about prayer is that most of the rest of the class has all the same questions that you do, and they're just as afraid to ask them. Barbara Brown Taylor, the author and preacher, liberated me on this subject. She wrote a book called An Altar in the World. And she opened the chapter on prayer by saying that she knew that the book needed a chapter on prayer, but she dreaded writing it. I'll quote her now. She said, "I have shelves full of prayer books and books on prayer. I have file drawers full of notes from courses that I have taught and taken on prayer. I have meditation benches I have used twice. Prayer mantras I intoned for as long as a week. Notebooks with column after column of the names of people in need of prayer. Is writing them down enough? I have a bowed psaltery, a biblical stringed instrument mentioned in the book of Psalms that dates from the year I thought I might be able to sing prayers easier than I could say them. I have invested a small fortune in icons, candles, monastic incense, coals, and incense burners. I am a failure at prayer. When people ask me about my prayer life, I feel like a bulimic must feel when people ask her about her favorite dish. My mind starts scrambling for ways to hide my problem," end quote. Now, keep in mind that this is someone generally agreed to be one of the 12 best preachers of the English language and a best-selling author and deeply committed to her discipleship, and she struggles mightily with prayer, how to do it or what it means. So I don't know about you, but that felt like finally some other kid in the class raising their hand and asking the question that I had been wondering the whole time. Lord, teach us to pray, which sounds like a prayer itself, actually. I have a lot of questions these days. I have more questions than I have answers, and I'm sure that I have company in that. Last week, I sat down at the end of my sermon, and I thought I had helped myself, and I thought maybe I'd help some of you come to some answer about how to hold two seemingly conflicting things together, how to hold on to the burning desire to see injustice and suffering in our culture made right without that desire crushing your spirit, and how to believe that in the power of God and in the authority of God, and to believe that God in Christ has all things in hand without forgetting that we also have a hand in healing this broken world. In other words, I had just started to put a bow of understanding around a painful and tragic period in our American culture that has been difficult to understand, and I was feeling a touch of healing, and as I got ready to leave, I picked up my phone off my desk to go home, and I saw the news alert about more violence in Baton Rouge, and whatever answers I'd started to formulate just crumbled and fell away again into more questions. So I wonder if you caught that in the parable that Jesus tells, that prayer is basically persistence. If you keep knocking, if you keep searching, if you keep asking, God won't let you down. But you're going to have to knock. You're going to have to ask. You're going to have to search more than once, maybe more than twice, maybe more than that. And there is no room for shyness about what you don't know. See, when you hear the parable, maybe you're different, but when I hear the parable, I fixate on how reluctant the person is on the other side to help. But did you catch how ridiculous the request was in the first place? It's midnight, and a friend came over, and I don't have anything to feed him. Can you help me? Which all of us would say no to. And Jesus doesn't emphasize that the friend is slow to answer. Instead, he emphasizes that the friend is so shameless in the asking in the first place that the friend does not apologize for making a big ask at an inconvenient time. Be like this friend, Jesus says. Knock, ask, seek. So I wonder what this really says about God, about how God listens, about what God is like. Is God like me on a Monday with a dozen or so emails waiting for a reply, but too tired sometimes to think about answering more than a few at the time? The rest will have to wait for later. or for tomorrow, and more emails will come in the meantime, and all the while someone somewhere is wondering why they haven't heard back from me yet? Or is God like a parent striking the balance between telling the children, her children, the answers that they're seeking, but also leaving her children alone long enough to let them find some answers for themselves? I wonder why patience and persistence are required of me when at the moment when I feel most desperately that I need to pray, patience and persistence are something I have very little of. I wonder how long, in the midst of wearying violence in our communities and around the world, how long are we supposed to keep knocking, waiting for God to answer? I wonder if we are asking God to give us a peace that we are not willing to work for. I have so many questions. I have more questions than anything else. I wonder what the relationship between the police department in our community and the minorities in our community is like. I don't know, but I wonder. I wonder what is going through a police officer's mind when he or she gets out of their car at a traffic stop. I can't imagine all that must go through a person's mind in that moment. I wonder what is going through the mind of a person of color when they see blue lights in their rearview mirror. I don't know. I wonder what will have to happen for us, to us, in order for us to do less talking and more listening, to reach for questions instead of answers. I wonder actually what would happen if we asked our questions with the same determination as we shouted our answers. I wonder actually if you find the answer to your question by thinking long and hard enough about what the best question is to ask in the first place. I wonder if the largest part of praying is curiosity. Instead of being afraid or being anxious or being paralyzed by what we don't understand, instead of reaching for simple explanations to complex questions, I wonder if prayer is just being curious. Curious enough to keep asking, curious enough to keep knocking, curious enough to keep searching. And I wonder if it is in the asking, if it is in the knocking, if it is in the searching that we learn actually what prayer really is. I wonder if God doesn't answer prayers actually per se, but instead God helps us to know what to ask. I don't know much about how to pray. All I know is that the more I ask, the more questions I have. And that each new question comes to me like a bolt of lightning. Like each new question that I have, each new wondering that I have is like I've gotten an answer to my prayer. It's like a question that is not actually for God, but is for me. And this question is drawing me out of a place where I have been comfortable to stay toward the place where God is calling me to go. Because I want to ask, I want to say, why do we have to live in this culture of fear? And I just hear God say, well, you tell me. I want to say, God, why? Why is there such brokenness in our relationships and the way we see the world and in the way we experience the world that we can begin with someone we don't know from a posture of distrust and fear? And I hear God say, well, you tell me. And I want to ask God, well, what is happening in my community? What is it like where I live? What, help me to understand. And I hear God say, well, you tell me. Help me understand. Every question that I have becomes a prayer. And every question draws me deeper draws me closer, draws me out of myself and into the hearts and minds of the people who are around me. I wonder what it is like. But I don't know. But the wondering, I think, is the prayer. And the wondering actually is the thing that can save us. Because if it draws us out of ourselves, and if it draws us closer to God, and if it draws us closer to the incarnate Christ, then there is salvation to be found there. I hope you never suffer under the illusion that I have answers for you. I might occasionally, like if you, ask me something simple. Well, actually, what I have for you are questions. And I can't help but think that this is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. How many answers did he ever really give anyone? How many questions did he ask? Those who gathered around, questions that would lead them back to the place where they started, to ask them differently. God, what would it be like? I wonder what it would be like if Christ would be present in this broken moment, in this painful moment, in this grief-filled moment that we are living in. I wonder what it would be like if Christ were present. And I hear God say, "Well, you tell me." Amen.